All right, everyone. This is Rochelle Wilhite, the designated broker for Best Choice Realty. We are going to be talking about objections from a buyer's agent perspective tonight. And we're going to cover a lot of ground tonight with a couple examples that we're going to discuss this evening. And hopefully you will come up on of some objections you're hearing on your own and perhaps find some better solutions, maybe through some of the thoughts that I'll discuss tonight, or maybe discussing some of the thoughts with your teammates or other brokers in our firm. But really want to spend some time giving you some strategy around how to deal with the objections that you're hearing. So we're going to start first with that, and then toward the end of the call I'll be going over a few examples of things I'm hearing in the marketplace and perhaps some scripting around how to combat the objections or how to deal with them. So without objections, the real estate agent would really be out of a job. I worked for a company early in 2000, and they were a company that was trying to see if they could take the real estate agent out of the equation and make us more into a company where we would be order takers. And that didn't work. And so that company, that .com, went bomb. And we saw the need for a real estate agent in the company I worked for. So what we took away from that is that objections are really important to the sales job. It's really critical that the real estate agent learns how to handle them effectively. The key to do this is really just to welcome the objections and not dread them. I wasn't really great at handling objections early on in my career because I was brand new to the business, but I was willing to learn, and I was teachable and coachable. And so some of the strategies I've used very, very much so in my career, and after you learn some of how to deal with some of the objections and you encounter these types of clients and their wants and their needs and their dislikes and their fears, in short, everything you need to know in order to get them to buy is covered tonight in some of the strategies we'll go over. And it's really the top 10 that I have put to use or I have been coached to utilize in my own business. So hopefully you'll take a few good strategies tonight and make them work for you. Number one, this is one that I love, and I think many people, especially newer agents, take this strategy and apply it right on in. They become, because they don't know very much about real estate or they haven't been skilled at how to deal with a lot of the lingo, they seem to be much more fearful of the objection. And so what I got in the mindset of doing after working with my coach as a new agent many, many years ago is to really see the objection when somebody gave me something that I didn't understand, is to see the objection as a question. So I think we talked a couple conference calls ago about how I had some post-it notes, and I had another post-it note that said objection equals opportunity. So the O kind of correlation there. Objection definition was an opportunity to ask another question. So instead of being a new agent that just kind of quivered in the corner and didn't jump in, my coach taught me how to see that challenge or that objection to the sales process as an opportunity to ask another question. And that worked really well for me. If the real estate agent sees the objection, like, for example, your price is too high, as an attack, or, you know, oh, I don't know how to do that, mentally your mind goes there if you're not well-versed in how to handle things, the natural tendency is really to defend rather than put you into a consultative approach. That puts the client and the real estate agent really into a difficult relationship, a relationship in which it's difficult to gain respect and trust. However, if the real estate agent mentally changes the objection into a question and asks, you know, why do you feel like the prices are so high, then only then can, you know, he or she proceed to explain the price to the client and put them in more of a consultant relationship, which is a much stronger position to be in when you're trying to determine what price we should offer, what price we should go in at when we're trying to think about that. Is this price too high? You know, if that's the initial reaction and you try to defend it, it may not go so well for you. So really see their objection as a question. And that would be strategy number one. Strategy number two is to turn the objection into the reason. So if the real estate agent can show the client or the buyer that whatever the objection is actually the reason to buy, he will effectively diffuse the objection. So for example, same situation, your client says, well, the seller's price is too high. The salesperson can then counter with, that's the very reason, you should buy. The prices are an indication of the value you will be getting. And do you want the value, the best value for the dollar? Why don't we put together an offer and see if the seller recognizes the same thing that you recognize, the price might be too high. And this might get the buyer to take action. So turn the objection into a reason. So using their own words against them kind of way, it's a strategy that's worked really well for me in the past. Strategy number three is to smoke out all of the important objections. I don't know about you, but I've had many buyers who go through and nitpick a house. We're touring through home after home after home. As a new agent, I battled with this. I was constantly showing homes, probably more homes I was showing than I really needed to, because I was trying to understand the marketplace of the inventory well enough so I could properly express that to my clients, even on the phone. So strategy number three would be to smoke out the important objections. So instead of touring all these properties, as you tour the properties, understand what the objection is to each home. Be sure you're asking questions as you tour. Did you like the last house on XYZ Street better than the one we're in now? And if they say yes, then you can ask a follow-up question. What did you like most about it, and what did you like least about it? So you can understand what their objections are to moving forward with that property, between one property or another. So, if they say it's on a busy road and it has this and it has all of that, is that the real reason? Again, after he tells you the objection, is that the real reason why you do not want to move forward with this one? And if the answer is yes, then you move on to the next house. But if he says no, make sure that there isn't anything else with the property that would prevent them from moving forward with that. Make sure you smoke out some of the ridiculous objections. So that's strategy number three. Strategy number four is to eliminate the objections with the questions. And this one is having to deal with the decision makers. Some of you are spending a lot of time working with one entity over another, and you may not have all the decision makers in the car with you. And I mean that more generally. Most people actually are following you along in their vehicle, but maybe it's just the husband, not the wife, or maybe it's not the mom that's contributing the down payment. If the client tells you that he is the decision maker, for example, and doesn't have to check with anyone else, he cannot use this as an excuse later not to buy. So make sure you're asking questions early on in the process to overcome potential objections in the future. So for example, if I was not following the strategy, I would be taking this client out knowing that that the husband's not with her, and he ultimately is the one that makes the decisions on everything. And we show all these houses only to find out that when we're ready to write up an offer on one of them, she's got to talk with the husband, and the husband's like, I don't even like the location. I don't even like the way this is set up. I don't like the layout. All of a sudden, you basically have a situation where you have to almost start over from the very beginning and bring both people into the equation. Strategy number five is five and six, agreeing with the client about something. How do you, when you have some sort of, you walk through the house and you have, pretty good understanding that this is the right house, but there's something, it's old, it needs some work. Find some sort of point of agreement with your client before you start to answer their objection. So you could potentially, obviously it's old, you could agree with them and then cushion your answer so that you can ask another question to fully understand if there's some other objection, basically smoking out like we talked about earlier. So we want to find some sort of point of agreement to agree with the client about something is a very good way to deal or navigate through an objection. So cushion it, you know, in that situation where I have a client who just says, gosh, this is a really old house. You could say, you know what, I agree. Wow, this was built in 1965. It's about as old as, you know, my mom. So you could have fun with it. And then cushion to see if that really is their objection. It may not be. You know, that objection may be, as they're touring through the home, they're trying to find out if the plumbing is in, you know, has been updated, or if the electrical panel needs to be updated. You could agree with them that the home is old, but then uncover more objections or less, depending on how you conduct yourself during that showing. Number six is admitting to the objection. So, you know, these are not meant to be bundled together, but it is another strategy on how to deal with the objection. You're not selling something that is perfect in every way. I have never found, I tell my clients this, especially my buyers, I've actually never found the perfect house. That's why I'm in the industry. I've never found the perfect house. Even if you're looking at a $5 million property, there's always something that that $5 million seller would like to change about their house. You know, it didn't have quite the right sunlight coming in from the right side of the house, or the bathroom had a, you know, some awful feng shui, or the front door squeaked. There's always going to be something that's not perfect with a property. And when a client objects to a real limitation, you will be better to just admit it, and instead of trying to be salesy and trying to get over it in that type of way. Having done that, you continue your presentation really focusing on the favorable aspects. If you try to convince the client that something is right when it's obviously not, you will antagonize the client and probably lose the sale. They'll go find another real estate broker that will, what they will say, will listen to them. Or as I heard today, a real estate agent who, or a buyer who I spoke with today said, my real estate agent didn't communicate well with me. And when I talked to the real estate agent, you know, the real estate agent, I communicate with them fine. But the buyer didn't feel that way. They didn't focus on the aspects or admit to the objection. They were trying to sell them a home. And so you do need to try to admit to the objection when it makes sense in those types of circumstances. Number seven strategy would be to deny the objection. And that sometimes it works really well depending on the situation. If the objection is obviously untrue, you can smile, and I do that a lot, and say, of course I don't believe that. Sometimes it's the more of your bullheaded, they're really trying to test you. I've been in situations, you know, there was one instance where I had a single male who thought he knew everything and liked to test me when we would go and look at properties. It was early on in my real estate career, and he used to kind of throw objections at me to see how I would react. And I remember the one time I did this, it was second to the last showing. It was the last one we were going to go look at for the night. And he wanted to gauge my reaction. He was looking for something very specific. He wanted a really big garage where he could do all of his tinkering. And, you know, he says, Rochelle, you don't think, you know, this garage, I mean, this garage is not big enough, you know, for me. And so I basically looked at, I mean, we had looked at a lot of houses. This was the biggest garage of all of the homes that we looked at. It was double car. It was extended. It even had plenty of room in the upper section of the garage to even turn it into some additional storage space, plenty of room to park. He was basically pulling my chain. And so I just, you know, instead of just like trying to try another strategy with this particular individual, I just smiled and said, do you really think I believe that this garage is not going to work for you? And he looked at me and he's like, you totally get me, Rochelle. And that's why I'm going to write an offer on this house. So if you try to logically answer some sometimes illogical objections, you will really get sucked into a long, drawn-out buying process. And sometimes fruitless. Sometimes you spend all this time with that buyer for no commission. So be sure you show the client that you have all the cards and that you're the professional and that they can expect you to be straight with him. That's what he liked about me, is I'm going to give it to him straight. You know, I know what he's looking at. We looked at several homes, and we looked at last Saturday and the Saturday before, and certainly you're not going to tell me, David, that the garage is not going to be able to meet your needs. I mean, we've looked at everything in your price range. And so you may want to just deny the objection altogether. That is a strategy. Number 8 strategy would be to let the client answer his own objection. This strategy works really well with the talkers. When the client answers their own objection, it makes your job so much easier. So this is the type of client who cannot seem to find the right property. They go through and they nitpick every property. They ask tons of questions. They flounder quite a bit. They admit that the objections are not really that important. They look at 10 to 20 houses at a time. Those are the types of people where you may need to, instead of them asking you the questions, you could then flip it on them and ask, why do you think that? And have them try to, in a way, answer their own objection. That is much more easier to do than trying to answer every issue with every house. And I've done that before. I've tried to be the agent that answers every single question on these type of picky buyers, as I call them. And what it really boils down to is that the client needs to admit that he doesn't really know why the objection is the objection, and it almost talks himself into it. It's kind of the person that kind of goes like this. Buyer tours the property. Oh, gosh, that road is really noisy. And you quietly walk over the door, and you don't really answer or kind of get, you know, ruffled with that comment. It's just a comment. Again, it's an opportunity to ask another question. So you could ask another question and say, you know, is it just the noise, or is there something else that you don't like about the house? I don't know, Rochelle. Let me keep touring the house. I'm sure I'll find something wrong with it. And they go through and they nitpick the house. And so if you were to jump and ask that question or try to agree or admit or do any of the other strategy we've already talked about, it would probably backfire and you'd spend a lot of time, when quite simply a buyer in that type of category would need to try to answer his own questions, his own objections himself. So as we got done touring the home and he's nitpicked everything, you know, you could be very positive and say, you know, what do you think about this property? And the client admits that, you know, I could probably put some bushes or some, you know, those trees that block the front. And maybe I could, you know, update the kitchen because, gosh, that's ugly and it smells. I guess I could paint. Rochelle, do you have any contractors that you know that could come and paint my house? Because I don't have the time. Then it's like they're answering their own objections. It makes my job as their consultant much easier because I'm putting them in touch with people, not trying to fall on the sword every single time they have an objection about something. The other thing you should do when you're dealing with, this is another strategy, is to restate the objection in your own words before answering. Restating the objection serves really 3 purposes. First, it lets the client know that you're listening to him. And second, it helps to avoid misunderstandings and assures that you are answering the right question. And then the other reason is it really gives you time to think about how you're going to answer. If you only practice one strategy tonight to simply restate the objection in your own words before you answer their objection, you would be learning a great deal this week. So the way it would go down is, you know, example of, you know, it's a busy road. So what I'm hearing from you is that the busy road is an issue. Again, I'm restating their objection in your own words before I answer. Yes, Rochelle, that's exactly what I'm saying. This place needs to, if it had a different house and a different location without that busy road, I may make an offer on it. Again, I'm restating the objection in my own words. It gives me time to think of how I'm going to, what strategy next I'm going to employ, or maybe another question that I may ask to truly understand what the true objection of the house would be. So that works really well to really give you time to think, avoid misunderstandings, make sure that your client knows that you're listening to him or her. Okay, so with that, if you're in a selling situation and the buyer wants to buy, you know, you can really offer service in this way. It really helps you overall to become less upset, less frustrated, deal with the public, have the appropriate, you know, language and appearance and posture. Some of those things go a long way to add to some of the strategies we've already talked about. But the way your client perceives your service is really closely tied to how he perceives how you handle his or her objections. So it does take some time and practice. You may want to, you know, work on this. This is something that nobody really is perfect at. I've worked with many buyer's agents over my years in the business, and I can honestly say there's not one person that is just a superstar. Everybody has certain aspects of dealing with objections they need to work on. So maybe take a strategy or two and then come up with some of your most commonly challenges that you have. And I did this exercise with my coach way back in the day where I had about 10 index cards where my coach asked me to write, as I work through the week, write down the top 10 things that were really kind of caught me by surprise, or, you know, objections that I heard from the buyer that prevented them from moving forward with the purchase or offering on a property or just dealing with the client in general. Write those things down on an index card, and then what you can do is start to build scripting around how you would handle that objection, maybe using some of the strategies we talked about, but really more importantly, developing a script around how you handle that objection. So I thought of a few that you, if in case you don't have any, I've got plenty of objections I've heard and I've heard recently. And I'll start with the one. My daughter or son is buying and we are just browsing around to help them. This was an objection I heard an agent get on the phone. And I thought, well, I could come up with some scripting around this using some of the strategies we've already talked about tonight. You could say, that's really nice. You're helping them look. What do they do? Where do they work? When are you and your son available to look at some properties? So those are some things. Basically, I saw that objection as an opportunity to ask more questions. So let's cushion that and say, that's really nice. You're helping them look. Again, I'm recognizing or restating their objection as just browsing. Basically, instead of just browsing, helping them look. No different. I'm just restating that in my response. And then asking some more questions. What do they do for a living? Where do they work? Those are some great open-ended questions that gets that objection into a position where I can start to help that person and consult with them in a professional way. That was one of that I heard. Another one I heard is, I'm trying to find investment properties. And I pretty much the agent that I heard say this just kind of hung up the phone. I thought, oh, wow, they didn't know how to deal with that objection. You do have to ask more questions. So if that was the only thing you took from the call today is ask more questions, that would be something to take away. I am trying to find investment properties. Don't just hang up the phone and say, oh, I'm just going to go and look at all these investment properties in Washington. You need to get more information about that. It's an opportunity to ask more questions. So this is how I would probably handle the investment property challenge or objection. When I'm a residential agent, I don't specialize in investment properties, but why not ask more questions to really understand what type of investment properties? So I would ask the question, would this be a long-term investment or a short-term investment? Do you want a property which is currently rented out or ready to go, or do you want to find a property that needs some work and then rent it out? Another question I could ask, how much are you looking to spend? Then go find it. Then what we'll do is we'll go find some options, and there are some investors that are really particularly interested in a certain amount of ROI, or return on your investment. How much are you looking to spend? So to know how to determine if the property has the cash flow or it can be leased is really important to understanding the investor objectives. Another objection I've heard recently, I will wait until the property values decrease more before I make an offer. The prices I know will come down in the future. So this sounds to me like one of those guys that I dealt with where they think they know it all. And so you can cushion it a bit, or you can, admit, that, wow, you could deny it, and we talked about denying the objections. And I would say, that's interesting that you would think that. Now is really the time to make an offer if you're seriously looking for a home. There are a lot of opportunities out there, and the interest rates will not remain below 4% forever. You want to get them excited about the fact that it's really a strong buyer's market now. There are many properties that will fit for you and your family and a strong investment for the future, and then start asking some more questions. I found properties because they've been on the market for several days, more than a week on the market, and some of those properties are either overpriced or they are great properties where we can negotiate and make an offer. If I understand more fully about what you're looking to do, we may be able to find something. Again, it's dealing with the objection in a very proactive, positive way with somebody like that. Another way to handle it, make sure that you research what type of market the client is looking before you make the call. So if you're looking in a market, we talked about this in conference call number two about market, about understanding your marketplace, whether it's a buyer's market, a seller's market, or a balanced market, or a seller's market that's maybe transitioning into a buyer's market. You should know that before you start prospecting and making your phone calls to your clients, because what you could encounter is that's common. I'm going to wait until the properties decrease before I make an offer. That is an objection, and it's been something I've heard before. If you know it's a seller's market, you can say houses are moving quickly and prices may or may not continue to increase. But instead of debating what will happen in the future, we suggest that if you're looking for a place to call home and you can plan to stay in your home for more than 5 years, you shouldn't let the short terms ups and downs in home prices play a big role in your purchasing decision. Or if it's a transitioning market, you're getting out of the seller's market and you can tell it's becoming more balanced, you could respond with something like that, where they're waiting for the property values to decrease. What we see right now as a return to normalcy from what has been an unprecedented market. We're not taking a position in this debate. Instead, we suggest that if you're looking for a place to call home and you plan to stay in that house for more than a few years, you shouldn't let the term ups and, the short-term ups and down in home prices play a big role in your purchasing decision. You can tell I've memorized this a few times, and so it flows. If you're using the index card strategy, what you're going to find is that you're going to become really well-versed in how to balance, cushion, try a strategy, and not let that objection hang, where you're not seen as the professional and the buyer calls all the shots. You do need to be more of a consultant and try to understand where the buyers are coming from. If you're in a buyer's market, your response may be different. This is a great time to look because there are more homes for you to look at. This really increases your chance to find the right home for you. When would you like to go look? This Saturday or Sunday? What would you prefer, mornings or afternoons? I've got afternoon at 2 p.m. Would that be okay for you? That's the kind of conversation you would have with a buyer's market where there's plenty of inventory. Many of the people on this call are in King County, and it's still a very much either a seller's market or a transitioning market from being a really hot seller's market. And then there are some areas out in the outlying areas where it's transitioning out of a buyer's market, and your response to that objection might be, if you're considering buying, now is the best time to act because prices are starting to rise and the inventory of homes is starting to fall. What other concerns do you have about the market besides price? See, that would be a nice question to ask. What other concerns about the marketplace do you have besides price? That gets them focused away from the price and maybe smoking out maybe another objection that they really have. So you may want to try some of those things. Couple others, and I'll let you go. I don't think I will find the perfect home. Again, that's interesting because people say the inventory is so low. I've heard that. Why do you say that? What do you think is the perfect home? That's how I would answer that objection. Let's go out and look at some properties that can be made into your perfect home. There are many properties that I've seen that would be a perfect fit for you and your family and for an investment. There are more opportunities than I found because I have access to so many resources that I'd be happy to share with you. When would you like to go and look at some of those places? Okay, so again, we need to understand why they feel that way, what is their perfect home, and then prompt them, you know, with some more verbiage to get out there and to go out and look. Another objection I've heard, prices on homes are too high right now for me to afford one. Some people have been, you'd be shocked, but some of the areas of the of our areas, are the people have just been priced out. Not only priced out of home, of being able to purchase a home, but maybe priced out of even the rental areas. So, you know, the question, you know, when somebody says, I think the prices of homes are too high right now for me to afford one, instead of saying, oh, I'm so sorry about that, and letting that lead go to somebody else, you really need to ask some more questions. One of the questions I would ask with that objection would be, do you know what your buying power is? And if they say, no, I really haven't checked in a while, let's find out. Let me have one of my lenders give you a call in the next hour and precisely determine what your buying power is, and I can help you narrow the search so that we find properties that match all of your requirements and, most importantly, is affordable to you. Does that sound like that would work? And then that's how I would handle that objection, is asking them a question and then putting them in touch with somebody who could then help them understand the objection. Okay? And then I think that was, oh, this is a good one. And this is happening a lot more because we're in the holiday season where a lot of people are, you know, I want to do some work to my house. And you want to try to get those buyers who are sitting right now in their, like, holiday mode, you want to try to get them geared up for the new year, because right now is actually the greatest time to start thinking about, if they're thinking about new year 2018, thinking about selling and moving up or selling their home and buying something, it's not too early to start thinking about that during the holiday season. And so when you're at maybe some of the holiday parties, and I get asked this at all the holiday parties every year, Rochelle, what's the market doing? I have been thinking, maybe I should put my home on the market, but there's nothing for me to buy. So we're not quite ready yet. We have some projects that need to be finished. Could you come with me and kind of tour through my house? And again, this is a party. I'm basically asked to do my job at the party, but this is the way real estate is done, right? They trust you because you're friends or because you have a relationship and they know you're a good producer or very experienced in the marketplace. So they'll say to you, we're not really quite ready yet. We need to finish a couple of projects around the house before we put it on the market. And I'll say to them, I agree that making sure the house is up to par is really important and probably didn't realize how little effect it will have on securing a buyer. And you probably don't realize how much of an impact it will have on the buyer. Let me go back and read that. It's getting late. I agree with you that making sure the house is up to par is important, and you probably don't realize how little effect it will have on securing a buyer. And they say, kind of like, whoa, you mean it doesn't have an impact? Let's, you know, your house is obviously gorgeous enough to have people come over for the party. And so let's get your home listed for sale, get some of the top brokers inside to show the house and get feedback. And the good news is you'll get a jump start on the new year by putting your home on the market rather than waiting until all of the, you know, all of the other competition comes into the marketplace. You'll actually find the right people, the right buyers for your property during this time. It sure would be nice not to have to spend a dime to get your home sold. And I've saved my sellers many thousands of dollars at telling them, you know, they were thinking they had to replace their entire kitchen when in fact all we had to do was touch up the cabinets and list it and get their home sold without having to do all that work. Wouldn't that be great for you? Again, kind of keeping them engaged, keeping it light, agreeing with them, but also letting them come up with some probable solutions, but maybe denying the objection altogether. that they're not quite ready in that situation where I'm at a holiday party. That's actually more cases than not. They are ready. They just don't feel like they're ready because they're not actively in the marketplace like you are. And they need validation and a consultant to kind of direct them on the path on what to do. Another way, if you're not trying to deal with that objection in that type of way, maybe the house isn't in great condition, you could say, great, why don't we complete the paperwork now? And while you're doing some of the projects we talked about, I'll get the flyer done and get all the marketing created that we have to do for the online process. There's a lot I have to do to get ready as well. And then we can begin showing your home in 2 to 3 weeks. Does that sound like that would work? Do you think that will be enough time for you to take time off from work during the holidays to get some of these projects done? Oh, yeah, Rochelle, that would be awesome. If we have 2 or 3 weeks before we have to start showing it, that would be great. So that's a different way, a different type of property, and a different strategy to get at that same objection. Another alternative that I've used is, how much money will you spend on these items that you're looking to fix? Again, I'm asking another question, right? Opportunity to ask another question. You'll probably not make that money back on the sale. Let's just sell it as is, not fix some of those things, and then you'll save some time and money. What do you think about that? And I've had many people take me up on that alternative. So there's many ways, obviously, to get at some of these objections. There's an art to dealing with objections. And the more you practice, the more you practice with the index cards and coming up with some viable solutions, it's kind of like a choose-your-own-adventure book. I don't know if you read one of those books where it's not perfect, but the how you deal with the objection could be different than from one client to another. That's what makes it fun. So with that, I'll let you guys go. Have a great week. We'll catch you next week. We're going to start diving into the contract and understanding how to negotiate some of the aspects of the contract next week and beyond, and having consultations with your buyer and some strategies around that. So we've got some good things ahead of us. Have a great Thanksgiving if I don't talk to you. Bye-bye.